This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Ruff. He's the Vice President of Public Sector at Akamai Technologies. Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
John, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me to the show.
Well, we've got a funny name for the company, but I think everyone's seen this somewhere or other. You know, we all know of this technology, and we've seen it here and there, and maybe there's some listeners who know a whole lot about it, and maybe there's some listeners kind of scratching their heads and going, well, what exactly is it that they do? And so I thought we'd look at cloud computing and computer security from kind of different perspective this time, bring someone in from a company that really provides a unique service in this area and find out what they can do for my listeners and maybe why my listeners should go to their website and download a white paper and learn more about this technology. Perhaps somewhere down the road, they can pull out their bag of tricks and deploy it or use it to solve some of their federal IT problems. But before we begin, many of my listeners are wondering, well, who is this guy, Tom Ruff, and how do you wind up with this company? Tell us about your background, please, Tom.
John, I've been serving the public sector marketplace for over 30 years, having worked for companies such as Unisys, Lotus Development Corporation, PictureTel, EMC, and with the last 4 years I've been with Akamai, where it's a very interesting technology. It's a managed service that really falls right down the fairway of cloud security around mobile, as well as certainly the internet, which is being used more and more by government agencies and by enterprises to be a means of being more effective in terms of delivering services to their end users, whether it's a citizen or it's a consumer.
AKAMAI.com. Get all kinds of information there. It's a nice looking website. You can download white papers. You can learn about exactly what it's all about. I first heard about your company back on 9/11. I was writing a column for the Washington Post at the time, and I went to check what was happening in 9/11. And then I started reading about this company that kind of works in the background that dynamically expands and condenses to allow a lot of people to hit a website and respond to emergencies. And I'm thinking, well, the government's not the only one that has to respond to emergencies. Commercial companies have to do it. And this is, I guess, you could tell us about the origin of your company, but this is how I remember you starting off. Is that right?
Yes. So Akamai's been around for now 15 years, and we're used by pretty much every industry out there. So e-commerce, we're used by the top 60 e-tailers in the world. We drive well over $600 million of e-commerce transactions a day. If you take a look at the media and entertainment industry, we are used and we are the go-to technology company for delivering HD services to things like March Madness, the Olympics, the World Cup, the State of the Union president speech. We're also used by most of the high-tech companies out there, the Microsofts, the McAfees, the Symantecs, the Oracles of the world that are delivering software and software patches that customers and the federal government count on every day to not only improve their productivity, but to improve their security posture. And we're happy to say that within the U.S. federal government, we are used by 14 of the top 15 cabinet-level agencies. We've got well over 3,800 digital properties, and we support not only the federal government, but also a lot of the cloud providers out there because, much like 9/11, Akamai is built to scale, and we can become a huge shock absorber for what we call good or bad flash crowds. A good flash crowd could be, we all remember Snowmageddon, when OMB was being hammered by the government and its contractors. Am I going to work? Am I going to work? And typically, you wouldn't build out a website to be able to handle what then was 6 million hits on a given 3 days when they typically see less than 100,000 hits per per month. So it's their ability to be able to scale and address whether it's good flash crowds like Snowmageddon or bad flash crowds when you're DDoSed or attacked by a malicious threat. You need to be able to scale and still be able to operate and keep your mission up and running.
The new verb, being DDoSed. Well, that's interesting. I had a guest in here about 4 weeks ago from New Orleans, and he, of course, was talking about Katrina. What happened? Classic example of dynamically wanting information about something that happens. Couldn't be predicted. Okay, that can't be predicted. You know, Cyber Monday can be predicted. People buy stuff and they return things and take things back. That can almost be predicted in the commercial world. But our govies really can't predict a lot of the issues that they have coming up, can they?
No, they can't. I mean, a great example was a year ago, I believe, we experienced Hurricane Sandy. And if you're the National Weather Service or you're FEMA, how do you prepare for that? How do you determine what kind of hit rate are you going to have in terms of people interested in knowing what is going on minute by minute in a real-time environment? More importantly, how do you know what kind of devices are they using? So typically, FEMA or National Weather Service might count on people, the vast majority of the individuals, accessing them from their homes and from their desktop or from their work computers. But when you're in a national emergency, most likely you're going to be on your mobile device, your smartphone. And how do you adapt and relay that information in a real time, regardless of what device they're on, what location, what time? And really, it's almost impossible to understand what the hit rate is. Another great example would be the 1941 census that NARA released about a year ago. And who would have ever thought that the overwhelming take rates on the 1941 census, where they were getting hit by millions of people coming in and wanting to understand what was behind the 1941 census when it's the year 2012.
Yeah.
So you can never project that.
It's awful hard to project, that's for sure. I remember back in 9/11, I had a desktop computer and a modem at work, and I had a desktop computer modem at home. So I was a fancy lad. I had two, okay? That was pretty good. Today, I mean, I think my kids, I have at least two or three devices. So there's three kids, a wife, there's 15. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, that just in of itself multiplies the number of people hitting a website for information about Sandy, isn't it? I mean, it's a way different world now.
Sure. And we're seeing, even at home, the second device phenomena, where people are watching the Super Bowl or a major sporting event and they have their iPad or their iPhone or their Droid there looking at the stats as they're watching the TV. So you're
one,
starting
two,
to
three
see,
devices, right?
Absolutely. And then, you know, my car's got an IP address. Most refrigerators that get shipped out today have an IP address. So the number of devices that need to be addressed is growing rapidly. And I don't believe we've even started to see the trending in terms of being able to access devices and get real-time information to either serve us or to be able to provide better services to the citizen or the customer.
I know a guy who lives in McLean. He has an IP address for every wine bottle in his wine collection, and it's wirelessly connected to his device. And if the temperature drops in his wine cellar, he's alerted to that. And I'll tell you in the break who there was, but he's an interesting character.
Interesting.
So a lot of IPs. So you're pretty much involved in a wide range of activities, federal and commercial, dynamically allocating resources, make life easier for a lot of people. And what you've done is you've looked at the situation the federal government, looked at the challenge of security, and you've worked with an organization to come up with a survey to ask actual govies, actual users, and say, look, tell me what your problems are, and we'll try to reflect and help you and see if we can come up with a solution. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is a study you commissioned with, is the group called Meritalk. Is that who you work with?
Yes, we work with Meritalk, and the study was also commissioned with another partner of ours called Carisoft that also works with Meritalk.
Ah, I see. And so, you know, if you want to find out what the weather's like in Hawaii, I guess you want to talk to Hawaiians. If you want to ask what kind of security concern that federal IT users have and professionals, you go right to the source, and that's the whole basis of this survey, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we thought it was important, given the number of attacks, the type of attacks, and the frequency of attacks that are happening right now in the U.S. federal government, as well as commercial enterprises. We thought it would be important to really take a new baseline and understand what some of the challenges are from not only the IT and cyber organization within the agency, but also the end users that actually are counting on technologies to be able to get their mission done. So we looked at both sides of the camp to try to better understand that and what might come out of this is hopefully some new initiatives that will help the agencies as well as the employees meet their mission needs, but at the same time not be susceptible to security risks.
And this is not just the federal government. I teach at Georgetown University. At 10 o'clock this morning, got an email from the CEO saying, change your password. We've been hit. And it's one thing for an educational institution to get hit. It's another thing for an institution that maybe guards your Social Security number and your income and your healthcare records. And so the whole idea of security, I think it has to take a higher priority for my listeners and for the general listeners out there. And so I think it's a good topic to dive into. What we're going to do is take a break and come back, talk about the study, how it was constructed, what kind of questions were asked, and what kind of results involving passwords and actually time-consuming delays in using a lot of security restrictions that are involved in federal IT. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Ruff, Vice President Public Sector at Akamai Technologies. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tom Ruff. He's the Vice President of Public Sector at a company called Akamai Technologies. You've probably seen them around, akamai.com. More information, white papers, all kinds of information. What we did in the first block, we painted a picture. We talked about the company, talked about the federal government, what managed services are, where they fit in. And then we kind of teased the fact that they work with an organization in town to come up with a survey of end users to find out what their questions and problems were with security. And tell me about this study, Tom. How did it exactly take place and who'd you pick and what kind of questions did you ask?
So we wanted to get an update or a snapshot of the reality of federal government and reality from both the end user perspective and also from the CSO organization. And given the number of attacks, the frequency of attacks, and the ever-changing landscape of attacks, we thought it was important to get a baseline of what's going on. So we decided to work with the Meritalk and also our partner Carisoft to commission a study that gets the reality and perception from the CSO's organization as well as the end users who are actually trying to perform the mission for the agency. And we focused it on security. I mean, Akamai is known for not only its cloud services, but also security. And we have a good share within the government. So we thought this was a great place to be able to get an update, get a temperature in terms of what's working and not working from a security perspective, and then hopefully take something back from this that will allow us to either change our approach, change our products, or even educate customers to be able to improve their security position within the federal government, which is key to everybody.
And if you're listening and there's snow on the ground, you can download this report. Is that at Meritalk? I don't know where it would be located. Would it be Akamai? I'm not sure. Meritalk. You can Google that and type in Meritalk and probably Akamai, and you can download the report. And so what's interesting, if you read this report, they talk about from the perspective of a cybersecurity professional, what are your concerns? And then they get a different group. They say, well, from the perspective of a user, what are your concerns? It's kind of interesting, the back and forth. It's almost like the kids and their parents. Well, my dad's real strict, and the parents say, I'm real loose with the kids. And it's two interesting perspectives. So what I see in the report is the cybersecurity professionals, whatever term you want to use, they see some very serious problems preventing data theft, ensuring a thorough web security strategy. A lot of real serious concerns here.
So yes, the perspective from the CSO shop or the cyber pros, as the report would mention, their perspective is radically different from the end users. They are faced with ever-changing challenges. It's not a set and forget security policy that we might have had 4 or 5 years ago, or even 10 years ago, when you just loaded up software on your desktop. The PC that you were given by the federal government was centralized, and it could be maintained by the IT organization. We're now in a much more rapidly fluid environment. People have tablets, smartphones. People have desktops, and they're becoming more mobile each day. So that introduces a whole new set of complexities for the security or cyber team. they're concerned about data theft. They're certainly concerned about the different type of attacks. It could be a brute force, or it could be a slow post, or it could be things such as DDoS denial of service attacks, SQL injections, cross script, and the list goes on and on. And again, these attack vectors, these attack methods are not changing. They're ever growing. At the same time, you've got end users that have got to get their job done. And, you know, whether you're a government employee or whether you're a consumer, how many different devices are you trying to manage? And they can't be centralized. They can't be approached by centralized management. So you have a lot of different passwords. You have a lot of different policies and procedures that the CSO organization is asking you to implement. And at the end of the day, the end users see that as being cumbersome, a lack of productivity. But the good news is, John, is both the end users and the cyber pros or the security office both understand that the need for ensuring security around the networks, around the government data, around the citizen data is absolutely critical. So the good news is they agree that they have to get to an endpoint that's going to be able to allow the government to move forward. But at the same time, there are different environments that both organizations work within that are sort of competing against each other right now.
So from an end user perspective, if you read the study on page 10 of the study, you can read along at home if you want. They're talking about obstacles. 58% of respondents talk about frequent password updates. Also about too many passwords, security software slows startup processing time consuming. In fact, there are about 20% of the respondents say that they were unable to complete a work assignment because of security measures. Think that's a fair observation?
Well, I do think it's a fair observation. Even more troubling is that, you know, the end users, 31% of them say that they, on a weekly basis, try to determine a security workaround in order for them to be more productive. Well, a workaround might mean the end user is more productive, but it certainly creates a whole new set of headaches for the IT or the security organization. And if you take a look at it, 70% of the security or IT organizations within the government are saying that they have real challenges around security, around data theft, especially in today's environment, and also the increased frequency of attacks. So there is some interesting findings in the report, but the fact of the matter is that we need to be able to cross this chasm, per se, between both organizations in order to provide a more productive environment, but at the same time, a more secure environment.
So I think the net result of the study is a federal government IT professional can read the study and say, well, geez, I'm not the only one with this problem. Maybe they can empathize with others and maybe try to figure out a ways to get around it. I mean, I never realized it was 20% of people said that the security measures have limited their ability to do their work for their job. I mean, that seems, I mean, I don't know if that's true in the commercial sector or not. I've never seen these studies done there, but 20%, that's one in five. That's, you work with six people, one or two people are going to have those headaches. Now, that's a lot.
Well, this study came out and said, basically 50% of the individuals or the cyber organization sees that 50% of the issues that are related to security breaches are end user related. John, there's also other reports out there, commercial publications that say it could be as high as 73% in the commercial world. So it's not a federal government unique initiative. It is across the board from federal government to commercial enterprises.
They have an interesting question here too. One of the questions they ask is, what is the biggest breach in cybersecurity you've ever witnessed? They talk about social security number loss, phishing attacks, inadvertent disclosure of private information. I mean, all these things build up and build up and build up. And one of the people talk about the Melissa virus. I mean, you know, that was many years ago, but that must have had a huge impact on the federal government. Of all the things to mention, that one, that seems like outdated, but it hit someone hard, didn't it?
Sure. And that is an old attack. And believe it or not, the bad guys have become much more sophisticated in terms of how they can potentially penetrate an enterprise or government organization. And, you know, it all starts with some of the easier sectors to break into. And that would be, you know, how a government employee operates today. So a government employee today is certainly using email. And email is one of the most porous environments in the world in terms of thing called an event called phishing. And that is, John, you receive an email. It looks like it's from a trusted source. The content of that email looks like it's of value to you. And basically, through social engineering, the bad guys using Facebook or using LinkedIn or Twitter can find out more about John's persona. And John, all of a sudden, they're writing an email that looks interesting to you that will make you say, this is not a threat. But the fact is, you're either clicking on that or taking an action, which is allowing the bad guys into the back door. So, you know, emailing still remains a concern for the IT and security professionals. Social media. Now, the government has done a great job using social media for communicating with the citizens, communicating with the vendors, and with other partners, and trying to be more connected with the environment. But at the same time, social media brings with it ads that could be corrupted, that could be injected with malice code, which puts you at risk.
Yeah, a lot of risk there. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about compliance and the perspective that cyber professionals have on compliance and users have on compliance, and the surprising conclusion where they kind of come together and agree on one aspect of security in the cloud. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Ruff, Vice President, Public Sector, Akamai Technologies. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Ruff, Vice President, Public Sector at Akamai Technologies. Now, it's a funny word here to say on the radio, AKAMAI.com, and founded not in Hawaii, but in Boston. Is that right? Where is it founded? In Cambridge? A bunch of MIT kids? Is that what it was?
Yes. The origin of the company is from MIT, and it started with a student and a professor up at MIT who won a math challenge, and basically there was a contest to come up with how best to optimize back then this thing called the internet.
Yeah, that's amazing. And look where that now. How many employees? What kind of annual sales? How big is the company?
Close to 3,700 employees and $1.5 billion in sales, approximately.
Really? I mean, I would never have, I can't conceive that many employees. It must be all over the world, a lot of different agencies. It's a well-kept secret, I think. I think it's a lot bigger company than people realize. We've seen this word in events, and you see it in advertising, and I always wonder, I never realized you were that big. It just seems, it seems like a well-kept secret in this town here that we're going to try to let people know in this interview. Many of my listeners listen online. Some people listen 6 months from now. Some people listen at 2 o'clock in the morning in their cars. Some people read blogs. I'll be blogging about this. If you want to read my blog, you just go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog. And it pops right up. And I'm going to ask you the question. I know what the answer is, but do you have a blog? Can you recommend a blog for my listeners to read regarding your technology?
No, John, I don't have a blog, but
call security.
After spending security. Time with you, I certainly need to get a blog tonight. And
we have a 5-1-1 in this studio. Well, you're not going to be able to hold your head up around the nerds without a blog,
are
you?
I'm too busy reading government computer news, Federal Computer Week, and listening to Federal News Radio.
And, now, that's the phrase that pays. We'll have him on again next week if he says that again.
And working a full-time job. So, sorry, no blogs today.
Let's go back to from blogs to the survey, and this is really I'm looking at this figure, and I'm going to say it in the radio. It's just hard for me to believe. You know, half of cyber pros say they witness a breach in the agency's security policies at least once a week. They're getting hit a lot, aren't they?
Well, yes, and it's not only, you know, by end users and the lack of compliance to policies and to the parameters that they put in for their employees, but it's also the external threats that are happening as well. So the 50% is both internal, and then I also believe it's the external threats as well.
This is a generic type response here. There are intelligence organizations, military organizations, civilian. What group is this? All of them combined, or didn't split it out?
So this is across the federal government. Predominantly, it was with the civilian agencies, but there is also content from Department of Defense. And basically, the survey ranged from director on up within the IT organization around security, and then GS12 all the way through SESers on the end user side. So it's a good representation primarily on the civilian side, but believe me, the challenges on DoD are no different than civilian and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. And if you'd like to read this study, MERITALK, Meritalk, I'm sure you could type that into your browser and find out where this is at and download it and read it. It's got some really interesting observations. You know, from one side, the cybersecurity professionals or the users going back and forth and back and forth. People are complaining about changing their passwords. But, you know, I think anyone in business today in large organizations has to worry about security problems. They're just part of being in business, isn't it?
Well, sure. And the environment is changing, because we are starting to access many more devices, not just your stationary desktop. So we have literally IP addresses for not only your mobile computing needs, but also for devices in your home, in your car. And all those end up being points of entry and potential threats for not only our business, but also in our consumer lives as well.
So tell me about a workaround. What exactly is a workaround, and how would they define this in terms of this survey?
Well, a workaround could be not following policies within the agency that says that you need to rotate your password every 6 months. It could be not having the same password for the 7 different devices that you might be accessing. It could be literally just keeping a sticky on your desk with your password and username so you can remember it across all your different devices, because we all have multiple devices and therefore we all have multiple passwords and different ways of storing that data. So it could be on your phone, it could be on your desktop, it could be just sitting, you know, right on a sticky on your plasma screen.
So we mentioned compliance and user compliance with standards. I guess there are certain compliance or standards that are involved in just cloud deploying. FedRAMP is one of them. Tell us about FedRAMP and how it all works together with Akamai.
Sure. So one of the biggest initiatives that started literally four or five years ago was around federal data center consolidation, and that led OMB to the Cloud First initiative. And that is where the government did an assessment that said, of all the legacy applications that we have out there on mainframes and servers, we believe that 30% of them can move to the cloud. It can save money. And oh, by the way, we can put a more consistent security framework around that, as opposed to agency A trying to approach it differently than agency B. So the NIST, along with ISO standards, developed a whole new set of a security framework around cloud offerings. Whether it's an internal cloud, a private cloud, or public or a hybrid cloud, a set of standards have been developed, and it's now called FedRAMP, and it's mandated by OMB that anyone that is moving to a cloud or plans on implementing a cloud must be FedRAMP compliant by June of 2014. And it's a pretty rigorous program. Matter of fact, Akamai just went through it. We're one of 10 technology companies that have a FedRAMP compliance approval. And basically, it uses input from GSA, from Homeland Security, and even the Department of Defense in order to provide a solid framework for government-wide deployments of clouds, which is a real aid to our cyber organization as well as our end users, because those parameters have been set up. They're consistent and basically they're very stringent compared to prior cloud or FISMA type initiatives.
Were you surprised at any of these results when you first got the survey back?
No, I wasn't. As I mentioned earlier, probably the most alarming thing was the number of employees that are using workarounds to be able to do their job. And at the same time, what was surprising is that of the IT security professionals, 70% said they had real problems within their agencies around cyber threats and data loss, and certainly the mobile environment, which is a whole new environment that has come on extremely fast. It's almost a tsunami compared to the adoption of servers or PCs within the federal government. And it's moving very quickly to the point that agencies really can't stop it. They just need to try to determine how they can minimize and at the same time more effectively use mobile. And when I say minimize the security threat, at the same time more effectively use mobile within the workplace.
The survey talks about streamlining mobile app access, and this is all well and good and nice to respond to a survey in that, but anyone who has read anything about security in the last year or two knows about the number of malware involved in apps and Android applications specifically. I mean, on the one hand, you want to streamline the mobile app access. On the other hand, you have to be secure. I think the whole concept of mobile and single sign-on are two key aspects of this. I don't know if there's an easy solution where you can accommodate both sides, if you can comply with FedRAMP and also streamline mobile access. I don't know how both can be done.
So there are two different topics that I believe you're trying to address there. So, you know, FedRAMP is all about the government cloud. So that's typically where an agency will host enterprise applications. At the same time, you were talking about mobile applications, and you're spot on. A recent study showed that in 2012, there were 350 suspect applications that you could download on your Droid. In 2013, there's over a million. And that deals with mobile applications. And certainly agencies are developing mobile applications, mainly citizen facing. The bigger challenge, John, is using your mobile device, whether it's an iPad or a Droid or a tablet, to be able to access enterprise applications. That is the applications. They are the applications that are sitting behind your firewall. So there are technologies out there. Matter of fact, we just announced one with a partner, FedRAMP compliant partner CGI, and a technology company called Dayon that allows you to use your mobile device to access enterprise applications behind the firewall. It uses the device ID. Basically, it uses three premises: something that you have, your mobile device; something that you are, a password; and then biometrics is something that you are.
D-A-O-N, Irish company. We know all about it. Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk more about technology and maybe about the technology that our guest uses. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Tom Ruff, Vice President, Public Sector for Akamai Technologies. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tom Ruff, Vice President, Public Sector at Akamai Technologies, A-K-A-M-A-I, Akamai.com. More information. Been around a while. They help in managed services, helping with dynamically expand the web and working with many different government agencies and all kinds of different levels. They commissioned a study to find out about security in the federal government. And we were talking about security and the surprising results from the study. And I was kind of shocked at some of the numbers that popped up here. You can type in Meritalk and probably find the study there. It's awfully easy to do. Many of my listeners read blogs. Some are active in Twitter. If you want to follow me, I'm at Ray Gilray, and I imagine that you have a presence there on Twitter, and your company does. Is that true, Tom, or what kind of Twitter presence do you have?
Akamai's got a big Twitter presence, and as well as many of the people within our public sector organization have Twitters that people follow in terms of latest trends and updates.
Just a tough on the radio, A-K-A-M-A-I. That's what I'd type into Twitter and follow them, find out what's going on. There's conferences that pop up every now and then. I guess we just missed a big conference in October. Is that right?
Yes, we had our worldwide conference in D.C. at the Gaylord, and it was a very informative session. Not only do we talk about best practices around things like security and web performance, but we also announced new technology. So we kicked off a new technology with Cisco, where they're going to be embedding some of our technology into their smart routers. We announced a new service with IBM, where they'll be selling and providing a managed service around our security solution. So a whole lot of updates around performance and security and improving the end user experience and how we can do that for our customers.
So some listeners like to go to events. I know I like to go to events. There's events in town here. Carisoft sponsors some events where they can meet people from Akamai, find out more about it. And in fact, there's one coming up in November, and you can find that pretty easily. C-A-R-A-H-S-O-F-T. Go there and find out what events are popping up. Well, this is the point in the show, Tom, where everyone's got to ask, answer the 10 questions to find out if they're a card-carrying nerd. And we're going to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd or not. First question, if I go over your house tonight, how many desktops are floating around there anyway?
Desktops or laptops would be approximately five.
Five. Get some nerd points there, I tell you that much. And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Two, mainly for my kids.
Really? So we got that. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes, at TW Ruff.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
I don't blog. It's not safe.
Okay. Do you use any online personal backup services?
Sure. So there are a multitude of services out there, but I use Big Drive and I use the Apple backup technology. Hmm,
good. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a iPhone 5.
Okay. And how many apps on that have you used in the last 30 days?
Probably 15 to 20.
That's a pretty good number, 15 to 20. That's a lot. And I cruise over to your house this evening and I waltz around. And how many tablet devices will I see in that house?
Two.
Just two. Okay. And are you active in any social networking sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, anything like that?
Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. We're getting some points here. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
Me too, but I have to give you a buzzer on that one. Yeah, last one was in paper. It was a book about marketing, but that's good. Yeah. It's always interesting to ask these questions. I've had people respond with like 15 tablets in their house. And I'm just amazing at the value that some people put in their technology and people consistently buying, upgrading every new phone, every 6 months buying a new phone and not being satisfied, moving and changing. It's very interesting. Akamai started with a contest with a bunch of math nerds up at MIT, and it's grown into a huge company. Where do you see it heading? Is it going to head towards more security? Is it going to – I have no idea what the challenges are and what the plans are for the next 5 to 10 years. Where do you see them working, especially in the federal space here, Tom?
Well, Akamai is really, whether it's commercial or in the public sector environment, is all about – providing the best user experience possible. Any device, anytime, anywhere. And whether it's the commercial world or the federal government or state and local government, that's what we strive for, is to make end users more productive and make their experience more worthwhile.
And what about this study? How are you going to use the study? Are you going to talk to the customers with it, talk to different users and share this information, or how are you going to use the study?
So, yes, there's a couple things. One is we will use this as an educational reference point, and basically organizations or agencies that understand their security policies and have ongoing training and awareness end up experiencing 50% less security breaches. So this is certainly not necessarily eye-opening, but it's a confirmation that the end user and the cyber pros, as we say in the report, are trying to work towards the same end or the same means. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, we'll use this to try to educate our customers and our partners in terms of transparent technologies that they could leverage with Akamai to be able to address many of the issues that are coming out in this paper. And basically, it's all about providing the heavy lifting for the agency and the end user, and let a managed service like Akamai take care of a vast majority of the issues that are addressed in this paper.
The good news of this survey is it talks about the cyber pros and said 48% wanted to prioritize end user experience. Whew, finally, they get it. You know, their job is to make sure the end users have a good experience, and just parallels with what you said about your company. I mean, that's where Akamai fits in, is helping end users actually accomplish that task and do whatever task they have for the federal government. Couple things here. Single sign-on. I know that's a hot topic. NIST just had a conference 2 weeks ago, and they talk about new strategies and identification and ID management. And it's getting more difficult with multiple devices, getting more difficult in a cloud environment. Do you think there's going to be an answer for single sign-on, or is this just some pipe dream that we'll be chasing for the next 10 years?
No, I don't believe it's a pipe dream. And do I believe there are technologies today that can help address this? Yes. By Akamai and other technology companies that can provide a cloud-based solution. So, you know, within the media and entertainment environment. We have customers that are using Cox Cable, Comcast, Verizon. They're using a multitude of multimedia Netflix type of accounts. And basically, since Akamai is providing services for some of the largest media and entertainment companies, for some of the largest banks out there, for the largest social media companies, we're able to aggregate in the cloud those individual IDs and be able to provide authentication against a policy that an agency might set up. For access and public information, hey, just give me your PC sign-on or your smartphone sign-on. If I'm trying to get PII data, like my Social Security benefits, I might want to have my Fed ID, I might want to have my Facebook, and I might want to have my Bank of America IDs. And we can federate that to be able to do that in the cloud in a safe fashion without everybody having to write down multiple different passwords and be able to try to scramble to figure out what's the password of the day.
Do you think passwords will be a thing of the past? 5-10 years from now, we'll move away completely from passwords?
I don't believe so. What we're seeing right now in the common trends is a mixture of what I know, that's a password. What I have a smartphone, I have a iPad, I have a Surface device, those have IDs on it. And then something that I am, and that could be voice recognition, it could be facial recognition or a fingerprint. That's something I am, something I have, which is the phone, and something I know is a password. So I think passwords are still going to be part of it. And when you bring them all together, it will be a lot easier for the end user because we can all remember one password. We all know who we are from a voice track or from a retina scan. So our device is our device. So I think things are going to get easier, whether it's single sign-on or multi-factor authentication using biometrics. I think that's going to become very important and make life easier for security concerns as well as for the end user experience.
I don't see a way around it. I think I have 87 different usernames and passwords I have to manage, and I'm just Joe Sixpack. I'm regular. I mean, if I were a federal employee, I might have twice as many to manage. And it's just there's going to come a point in time where human beings are going to have to move away from passwords and change to something. And maybe it's single sign-on. Maybe it's biometrics. Maybe it's some kind of cloud solution. I don't have the answer. But maybe the answer is in the end result of this report. I think at the end result, both the end users and the cyber pros got together and they agreed on one thing, didn't they? They agreed that they all have to work on I guess would be compliance, on following the rules better in order to have a more secure environment for users and for the civilians who use these websites. Well, let's end the interview here. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tom Ruff, Vice President, Public Sector, Akamai Technologies.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.